passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome to Thursday. Great to have all of you with us. We are 1 week away from the NFL draft. It is a week from tonight, and we'll preview it for you. We'll also talk a great deal about some college football issues. What about the Alabama job? Have you heard that before? Steve Sarkisian said he thought about the Alabama job for about 60 seconds. He said, naturally, I'd be lying if I said I didn't think about it, but it took me all of 60 seconds to say, yeah, I'm not doing that. Apparently, he wasn't the only one who thought about it for 60 seconds or less. New transfer rules from the NCAA. It will allow immediate eligibility. It's pretty easy to transfer. We'll talk to Tom Mars, a major attorney who represents clients often against the NCAA. He'll join us a little bit later in the show. How about Molly McGrath? She was on the field last week at Alabama's spring game. She'll also be part of the draft coverage. We'll talk to Molly in a few minutes. Brad Crawford on who are the top college football coaches without a national championship. I can think of a few. Colt McCoy, ever heard that name? If you're a Texas fan, he's legend. And he'll join us in a couple hours to preview Texas's entry. Not that far off. And the aforementioned Tom Mars, he represented Jim Harbaugh, represented Houston Nutt, Justin Fields, one of the most prominent attorneys in the country, joining us. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's start in Kansas City. Phil, you're on the air first. How are you?
Hey, Paul. I'm doing good. Hey, I knew it was going to happen, Paul. The first time I heard John in St. Louis, I knew the rest of us good Missouri fans were gonna get tied in with his nonsense. I mean, that. So yesterday, you know, you had the guy yesterday afternoon call in, getting on John, and then going into this whole mess about, oh, Missouri's the stepchild of the SEC anyway. So, you know, whatever he says, just, you know, we shouldn't listen to. And I'm sick of this whole Missouri being the stepchild of the SEC. We've been in the league for, what, 12 years now?
Yeah, first game was 2012, I believe.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I think we've held our own pretty good.
Well, first of all, Missouri has done something a number of other schools have not done. They played in the SEC championship game a couple of times. They didn't waste any time doing that. I can name you, about 9 or 10 schools that haven't done that.
Exactly. And, you know, and then the people that say Missouri doesn't fit in or have the culture of the SEC, if you drive the south of Columbia, the rest of the state of Missouri is pretty well SEC oriented. I mean, it's not much different. Southeast Missouri is no different from Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky. I mean, it's pretty much the same. But anyway, I had to get that off my chest, and I also wanted to say, since I'm here in Kansas City, I'm just down the road from Independence, Missouri, so I'm thinking this weekend I might go visit the Harry A. Truman Presidential Library.
I cannot wait. Hey, thank you very much. Great to hear from you. That's funny. Harry A. Truman, who was a president, I think he was two presidents. Yeah, Eisenhower was next, Kennedy, Johnson, and then Richard E. Nixon. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
I tell you, John in Missouri has no friends now, right?
No, John's in trouble.
Yeah. Hey, good afternoon, Paul. And I'm looking forward to the Tom Mars interview. You'll have to ask him about his comments recently. Michigan did its settlement with the NCAA, and Harbaugh was left out of it. So I'm interested to hear what Tom Mars says about that. But Before I get to the transfer portal, you had some fireworks yesterday with the phone feuds.
Yeah, some of you may have left us early for some baseball, but we may have had the absolute craziest final hour here maybe all year. We had the return of Larry, which we were all gratified. We had Jim and AJ in a phoner feud. That was pretty classic. It was a really an amazing finish to the show.
How could you leave out the I-Man Susie Q?
Eviscerated. Well, yeah, I'm trying to think of a way. Eviscerated is a pretty accurate description. Susie from Georgia.
Yeah. We also learned two new words. Words I hadn't heard in a long time. Toots and hush up.
Yeah. Hush y'all.
Anyways. Yeah, it was very entertaining. I would suggest that when you have Jim on a phone feud, give him 30 seconds of ID episode and then mute him so we can hear the other party. And then when people need to face I-Man, maybe give him a 20-second warning to wrap it up and they can stay or go. But, yeah, she did get eviscerated.
Well said. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey,
Matt.
So Drunken Larry is on the show again, huh, the dumb redneck moron. You always drink six-pack of beer every single day. You know, there's a caller called in the show saying he thought Jim was the best caller. No, he's not. Jim's a hack job. He's a wannabe loser. I already shorted him once. When are people going to realize Jim needs to go call the political Fox News station, go work there, and shut up and never come back to the show? Jim is annoying. Just like there he is, this dumb drinking, I'm a six-pack of beer guy. Man, these callers, legend was make the show. I-Man is a cool caller. The guy you had on, he's a boring caller. He makes you fall asleep every time he gets on the call this show. But nah, that guy tried to defend Jim. Are you high, man? Have you been smoking something lately? Jim is a hack job, wannabe, pathetic loser caller. Go get your diaper changed, man. Go work for Fox Political News. I can't stand that.
Thanks for the call. Wow. Bash is up next.
Bash Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call. Bash Brother Randy, I hear you in the studio.
Randy's here.
My man. Yeah, Matt is just pissed off all of a sudden. And I heard that last comment he said. He's like, what is he, smoking weed or something? I'm like, that's funny. Ain't that right, Randy?
Yeah, Randy wanted me to remind you, Bash, we are 2 days away from April 20th. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, it would, but on that day this year, I have to work, unfortunately, Paul. But it's all
Bash,
good.
Bash, has that ever stopped you from a couple of tokes on the way in?
I am not going to answer that question.
Are you ever drug tested at the arena?
Is anybody? No.
I mean, a guy told me this story about 2 weeks ago. I was somewhere, and he said that they were in the food and beverage industry, and they had a new ownership, and the guy, the new owner came in, and he said, by the way, everyone will be drug tested tomorrow upon arrival. There were 14 employees. Not one of them showed up, including Bash from Boulder.
I do not work in vendor. I started doing that originally last year, and I said, no, I'm not doing that anymore, Paul. I will say this, when you brought up Red Rocks a couple months ago,
right?
A lot of my coworkers, they, you know, like to do events there, but I asked them, you know, does it suck that you have to work these events? Yes, you go to them for free, but you can't have fun and do all the fun stuff that all the patrons do, and their response is, who says? I'm like, I'm not talking to this person.
You have really inspired me to come out to Red Rock this year. I'll let you know. Randy, you want to hit?
Yeah, let's do it.
Right outside of Denver. We'll take a break. We have Molly McGrath coming up here in a minute. She was in Alabama the other day. She's covered a lot of Nick Saban. She also covered a lot of Kalen DeBoer during the playoffs.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So we're a week away from the NFL draft, a week from tonight, and one of the featured people covering it for ESPN and ABC will be our next guest, Molly McGrath, who also has spent a little bit of time covering Kalen DeBoer, living in that part of the world. She was with him all the way throughout the playoffs and the semis and the national championship. And Molly, it is great to see you again. It's been too long.
Good to see you, Paul. Yeah, I'm coming to you from Seattle, the previous home of Kalen DeBoer. It was wonderful to see him last week at Alabama's A-Day. And just listening to what Alex Scarborough was saying about Kalen DeBoer and Nick Saban and that kind of dynamic between, the two coaches, I think it's really interesting. I think that it works, and having Nick Saban around this Alabama program still works because Kalen DeBoer doesn't have a huge ego. And he has said multiple times, I would be crazy if I didn't accept help from one of the greatest coaches of all time. So I think he's able to put his ego aside, and he can see the great foundation that Nick Saban has created at Alabama, you know, with the kind of coaching style. And these are two coaches who have worlds different coaching styles. So Saban has a very different coaching style from Kalen DeBoer, but it's created this wonderful foundation that's allowed them to have success. And in speaking to players, players have said, you know, it's very different because Nick Saban is the kind of coach who expects greatness out of you. That is the expectation at Alabama. Whereas now Kalen DeBoer appreciates the greatness in you. It is now a culture of appreciation, and that a culture of appreciation wouldn't exist without Nick Saban and without the strong foundation that he created. So it's been a joy to watch this journey for both Nick Saban and Kalen DeBoer, and to see Coach DeBoer at Alabama. You can really get a feel for where a program is after speaking with a handful of players on the phone. And I have never walked away from spring conversations with such a good feeling. I feel like the future is very bright in Tuscaloosa, and I think Kalen DeBoer is the right fit for Alabama moving forward.
And Molly, I want to dig a little deeper on DeBoer, and we'll go to Saban a little bit later on. But just, you know, living in that city, watching him ascend to this incredibly prominent position, I realize he can't be as simple as he looks. He just looks like a really decent guy, which maybe we can't say about every coach at that level.
He is who he is. He's a very decent, nice guy. I swear, what you see is what you get with Kalen DeBoer. And he's a person who, like I said, doesn't have a huge ego, but he feels very deeply. And he feels very deeply for his players and for his program. Before the national championship game, as he's walking into the building in Houston, I was talking to him off camera, and he started crying because of how much he loved the players on that team, because of all the six-year seniors, guys like Michael Penix that he was saying goodbye to, and that was his last game with those guys that night. Little did we know that was his last game with Washington in general. And then in speaking to him before A-Day, I was talking to him about some, kind of more off-the-record conversations with players that I had about how much players truly love him. and how he has changed the whole vibe in this locker room and how much players appreciate him. And he teared up again because he already has these deep feelings and this deep love for the players in that Alabama locker room. And I think that that love and that passion, and also that expectation to rise to a certain standard that Alabama will always have, is what's going to take this Alabama team, I think, to new heights under Kalen DeBoer.
Molly, being around there before the game and talking to players during the game, and I realize it's always difficult at these scrimmages to really know what you're seeing, but what did you take away just from a football standpoint?
I think that this new offense, they didn't want to show too much, right? That's the tough part about these scrimmages, and a spring game A-Day was a glorified scrimmage. So it's hard to gauge what you'll really see from Alabama in the fall because they don't want to show too much. But I think this offense is going to be explosive. I think that, you know, in speaking with Jalen Milroe, he said that his goal this year is to be the best quarterback in the country. And I think that if he is able to operate within this offense and do what's asked of him and not do too much, he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the country this season through this offense and through what Kalen DeBoer has been able to do. You look at what he did with a guy like Michael Penix. I think you could see similar production from a guy like Jalen Milroe because of that. The run game was really impressive. You know, Jam, their running back, and they kind of had a 1-2 punch at running back, but we know that Jam had a really great game and was able to show how dynamic and explosive he can be. And then the defense wasn't able to show too much, which I understand that scheme-wise. They don't want people to be able to watch the spring game and be able to scheme against them for the fall. But I do think that the defense got better as the scrimmage went along. They adjusted a little bit, and by not wanting to show too much, you were able to see some flashes. I think guys like Deontay Lawson obviously are going to be game changers for them this season. And the fact that he's a guy who decided to stay and decided to play under Kalen DeBoer has been a huge catalyst for this Alabama team. So I'm expecting a much more explosive team and a team who genuinely loves the coach and the locker room. And it's just a really good vibe all around in Tuscaloosa.
Nick Saban was there, and you alluded to what Kalen DeBoer had to say about him, but just talking to him not as a coach any longer, describe what that must have been like.
Much less intimidating. You know, I went up to Coach Saban, and because he's always going to be Coach Saban, right? I went up to Coach Saban, and I said, you know, what's it like to be here without a whistle on? And I think that he was there not to have his presence be known, not to make a statement. I think it's much simpler than that. And I don't know Nick Saban as well as, you know, Greg McElroy or other people know him, but I think he was there because he loves ball. I think he was there because he loves scrimmages, and he would rather be at a scrimmage or rather be at a practice than be at a game. He's not going to be able to go to a lot of games this fall because of his TV responsibilities. So I think that he genuinely enjoys that part. He enjoys the process of being a coach, and it's hard to step away from that. If you love football, you can't fully step away from football. We all know that. So I think him being there was genuinely just because he loves it. And I also love that any opportunity he gets, he talks about Miss Terry being the boss and she's his head coach. And, you know, he said he was most nervous to watch the game with Miss Terry because he's never watched a game with her before, which is kind of interesting. So it was definitely weird to see him not on the field. It was weird that he was up in the box. It's a new era. And I think that he was there genuinely just because he loves football and he loves Alabama. And I don't think there's much more to read into it than that.
Molly McGrath with us. Molly, let me turn to the draft for a second. I know you covered Michael Penix's pro day, and he's a mystery on the board. What are you learning about what was really one of the most important players in college football last year, but the pro scouts are seemingly all over the place on him?
Yeah, so I went to his pro day, as you mentioned, and the first thing, I walk into Washington's indoor practice facility and I run into Michael. I'm like, oh, hi, I'm here to cover you. And we said hello because I've covered him a ton. And he said, I'm going to run and jump today. And I said, why? You know, most quarterbacks just throw at their pro day. And he said, well, I'm going to run and jump because I want to show that I'm an athlete. He jokingly said, I want to show that I ain't no bum. But he also said that he wanted to show that he is an athlete and can have mobility within an offense if needed. And he thinks that that's the most underrated part of his game. And we saw him run a 4.5 sub 4.640. And to show that athleticism and to show an impressive vertical jump, I think it was 38 and a half inches, he wanted to make himself vulnerable and put himself out there to show teams what he can bring in different kind of offensive schemes. And so he is a person who I have grown to really love and admire. He is incredibly talented. He is a wonderful leader. He's deeply rooted in his faith. He knows who he is, which not a lot of young people do. So I think any team that drafts him is going to get an incredible leader and an underrated athlete. We all know about the arm strength, but in terms of his athleticism and his mobility, and I think a lot of GMs and scouts took notice from his pro day, from his pro day performance. And I think he's kind of skyrocketed up some draft boards. And in speaking with some GMs, they believe he's going to go in the first round. So we could see probably six quarterbacks taken in the first round, which is so exciting about this year's draft. There's so much talent at the quarterback and wide receiver position. So everyone I'm talking to thinks that Michael Penix is a first round pick, and there could even be some teams who are trading up to try to get him, which is really exciting for him. And I know that there are questions about his injury history, but he had two injury-free seasons at Washington, and all of his, you know, medicals were cleared. I don't think that that's an issue. He doesn't play like he's trying not to get hurt. I think that would be a big issue if he was. So I think with that injury history, hopefully forgotten and long behind him, he's going to have a very promising career in the NFL.
Molly McGrath, part of the coverage a week from today. Many thanks, Molly. As we head to the break, we'll get to more phone calls. And how interesting was that, listening to her talk about Kalen DeBoer from someone who knows him well. We'll take a break. Your reaction to all of that right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here. Very busy Thursday afternoon, and Hayden is up next from Alabama. Hello, Hayden.
Paul, how you doing, big man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And man, I just wanted to call, and I wanted to get your opinion on how NIL and the transfer portal can, how it can impact some of the mid-majors and kind of be a farm system for some of the bigger schools. I get that's kind of an odd term. Well, I figured with the minor league and the major leagues. But anyway, I just wanted to get your take on how that was and if that had as big of an impact on the game as much as I'm thinking.
Well, Hayden, I mean, NIL has a big impact. I think what drives people crazier than NIL is the transfer portal, because it's NIL is pretty laid out. The transfer portal is more like a continual free agency.
Yeah, and I get that. And I think that's one thing I've started to look at a little bit more this year. In one of my sports management classes, one of the big questions has been, how does the transfer portal impact some of the mid-majors at Jacksonville State? And I don't know. I've just thought about it a lot and thought that it was an interesting topic and figured I'd call in and get your opinion. So I appreciate it.
How's everything going in your school, Hayden?
Oh, man, it's going all right. I'm finishing up some finals and stuff. I had to give a presentation a few days ago. It went all right. And, I'm preparing for my audio production final on Monday, and then I've got two others, I believe, and the sports management final, too. So.
Well, good luck. Stay in touch with us, and we hope to meet you very soon. Thanks very much, Hayden, joining us. Let's talk to Yogg Stemp.
Hey, Paul, I just wanted to apologize about yesterday and the punctuality problem in that run-on paragraph there. But my question is, do you think Sark only considered that Alabama job for around 60 seconds because they swim in the shallow end compared to Texas?
Expired is up next in Texas. Hey, Expired.
Hey, Paul, what was that guy's name?
Whatever it was, you'll never hear it again.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, man, I kind of lost my thought here, but are you ready for who's hot and who is not?
Let's go.
Johnny B, Twitter, food game is hot. However, his Twitter girls are not. Larry, with an epic, epic, epic call yesterday, is hot. And AC from Bangladesh is not and probably will never be. I-Man with a great... I mean, he had two great calls yesterday, Paul. He is hot. And Susie is not. Matt, my boy from SA, Matt, is hot like Popeye's chicken. And Joe Biden's unemployment rate is not. Bubba and Randy are hot. Bubba! Randy! They are hot. Randy! Bubba are hot, and Bass Brother Bash is not.
This might be the best ever, who's hot, who's not.
Yeah, exactly. And the last one, Paul, AJ is more than hot. He is on fire, 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 fire. And Jim, who still lives in his mom's basement, is not. That's all I got for this week, Paul. Just wanted to let you know something else besides who's hot and who's not. Well, Mike Elko is about to bring in some studs in the portal. It's looking good for Aggie football. You have a great day, man. Glad to hear you. And see you right there.
Thank you very much. Let's check in with Swamp Dog. Hello, Swamp.
Hello, Mr. Kleinbaum. Great to talk to you again.
Doggy.
I wanted to talk to you about you today. That's what I want to talk about. Yeah, you. People call the show, some of them get so mad at you, and they cuss you out, and they do all this. They call you to get your opinion on whatever subject that they got to talk about, right? So you just give your honest opinion, and if they don't like it, they don't have to call the show. I don't know why. I don't agree with everything you say either, but I call to ask your opinion. So how do you deal with that? I mean, they think that you control conferences and coaches and everything. You don't do that. You just answer the question that you're asked. And why do they get so mad about that? They're the ones that call you.
I'm a host of a program, okay? I don't take that
right.
too seriously. Yeah. And I realize what we do here. So I am not one who really gets too exercised over what somebody says about me, either here or on some social media post. Because, and I understand people do, and I understand why they get upset, but this is what I do.
I didn't want to hear your opinion, I wouldn't call you
right.
in the first place. You may not agree with me. I might not agree with
no,
you.
No, you're but right. But dog, that's what we do here. Mm-hmm. And anyone who sits in a chair like this and feels compelled to respond in some forum is probably needs to take a good look at themselves in the mirror. Jim is up next.
I want to tell you something, Paul. These dumbasses like this expired. I mean, the Ben on the show cup took a month or two. Come in here and tell who's hot, who's not. Well, he's not hot. He's snot. He's a piece of you know what.
I like that.
It burns me up to see these little punks. Punks like this expired. He better hope he never bumps in me around in the around in a corner again like he did once he got 2 months ago. Anyway, I'm sorry. I get so mad, Paul. I think I'm righteously mad. Do you not think I'm righteously mad about something like that?
Well, I can understand if you're being singled out. I mean, he is just a guy who decided to crown himself.
Here's what gets me. He takes up for that complete, what's the word for that guy? I don't even know the right word. Fool, yeah. Loser, liar, scumbag,
right.
AJ, coming after me like he did yesterday. And I'm wrong. I'm wrong for telling that fool what he is.
No, you were right.
I know, but that's what expired tried to make it look like.
Here's why I may get upset with you sometimes, but you subscribe to the theory that you have to answer the critics, and you do have to answer them when they're incorrect.
I'll be honest with you now that I think about it. I did it before Trump. So
you were the original guy, and I had a lawyer once tell me, he's now in jail, but he once told me
our good buddy from Birmingham.
Yeah, he said you have to answer every critic, or otherwise that's the last thing people see is the record. That's why he was always responding.
That's exactly my viewpoint, and that's why I do it. But let me tell you this, Paul. I sincerely mean. I'm Ann's my friend. We talked after the show. He called me after the show yesterday, and I kind of got surprised. And I'm not trying to reveal anything personal between him and me, but I told him, I said, man, you just brutalized poor
Susie.
And he told me, he said, well, he wasn't as mean to talking about it as he was to her. And I said, I didn't make anything out of it because, we got an agreement. What he says is his business. What I say is my business. And that's the way we look at each other. But I want to tell you something. Susie, I hope you're here. I like you, Susie. Even though you criticize me, I think you're a decent woman. You work hard as a teacher. I've always admired teachers more than just about anybody. And you sound like a nice, decent, kind woman. And I appreciate you. And I can't apologize for I'm in. But I hope that you don't take it too hard because it's really nothing, Susie. It's really nothing. And I hope you don't let it bother you. That's all. I really mean that, Paul. I hope she doesn't let it bother her.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
Well, I think it needed being said.
Well done, and a great call. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Rick in Houston is up next.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well.
Well, Paul, I've been sitting back. Hadn't called in a few days, but did you ever think that you would be in the midst of an I-Man Susie phoner feud?
No, that was not on the projections for the spring.
I mean, you could see the Jim and AJ feud coming from a mile away eventually, but Susie and I-Man, that took me by surprise, and man, I haven't heard a lady being called toots in. God, I don't know how many years.
Well, I think we have it all cleared up. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Expired would like to respond.
Hey, Paul, let me tell you again one more time. Who's hot and who's not? Rick from Houston is hot, and Jim, that idiot, chain-smoking, smelly, underarm having, dirty underwear wearing is not. Jim, shut the hell up. People don't want to hear from you. You are washed up. Have a good day, Paul.
We'll be right back. More of the show straight ahead.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. And JK is up next.
What's up, Feinbaum?
Hey there.
Hey, Paul, I called to talk about a couple of callers, but not like the typical callers call in and talk about other callers. Paul, let me give you my analysis of when you chastised Dominique. First of all, I wouldn't care if he cheated or not. The kid is a good caller. Whatever votes he got or perceived to have gotten, he deserved. I don't think you should have chastised him like you did. And I'm saying that because when you talk to these playoff committed people or the chairman, you throw softball after overinflated beach balls. But you want to drill this kid like he's a hostile witness, and you want to pull off your put back on your lawyer hat on a kid. And I think you are dead wrong for that. Now, I'm going to finish with that. Now, let me get on this other caller. Anywhere in America, you can quit a job, and you probably won't come back. You can quit your girlfriend, and she may take you back. You can quit a football, basketball, or any sports team, and the coach probably won't take you back. But Jim has quit this show about 2,000 times in the last 2 years that I can recall. And I blame all of that on you, Paul. You're totally responsible. But let me get on my last caller. And let me say this to all the listeners. I appreciate you guys putting me in the caller bracket. I never expect to win. I'm glad you guys think of me as a good caller. But I really don't care because it doesn't pay anything. But the best caller to this show, in my opinion, and it's the caller that has me calling in, he doesn't call anymore because his team is not on top anymore. And, Paul, you know exactly who I'm talking about, and it's the guy that's on your lead-in in the song that always says, I might call you 2, 3, 4, 5 more times today. Jerome. Jerome is the best caller to this show I have ever heard, Paul. And that's the best compliment I'm going to give anybody that roots for Alabama. You have a good day, buddy.
Susie is up next.
You knew you'd hear from me today, Paul, right?
I did.
I was pulling in. I went to the grocery store. Missed actually the first part, which I'm going to look on my DVR. But, you know, if I was parking my car, I heard my name being mentioned by Expired. Well, thank you, Expired, for at least putting me on a list, even if I'm a not. And for a second, Paul, when you said that's probably a really good list, I thought, Paul, and I thought, no, Paul's not. He, you know, I know how you interact with all the different callers. Larry, thank you for all those compliments. I appreciate it. I get up every morning, Paul, positive, and look at all the positives in my life. I put the day before me, behind me, and learn from it. I've always, you know, I'm not going to please everybody, and not everybody's going to like me. But I've listened to this show for, I've only been a caller for a couple of years, but I've listened to this show for over 10 years. So, yes, Iman's a great caller. I'm not saying he's not a great caller. You know, what these people add to the program sparks people to react, to come back. And I think that's what you like to see. I don't know. I could be wrong. but I've never considered you not thinking of me as a good caller. I'm not the best caller. I just call when something, you know, I have a question or something gets me going. And, of course, you know, I got going today, but then Jim cooled me off. So thank you, Jim. I was listening. But I did have a question. Are you going to have Tennessee's quarterback on like you've been having other college players?
I don't have a specific answer. I mean, we are open to the universities decide, Susie, which players they will put on here. We don't. We work with them. If they provide the player, we will put him on. Vance is up next in Georgia.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Vance.
I was listening to Jim's call, which, by the way, I happen to like Jim. He's one of the first people I ever heard on the radio. On your show to make me continue to listen. But didn't I hear him say to Susie, hey, Susie, don't worry about it. It doesn't mean much. It doesn't mean anything. Is that a case of do as I say, not as I do?
Sounds like it.
Because anyone that says anything to rile Jim, by God, that's the last thing he does is not worry about it. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that is correct. I'm with Jim, I just kind of follow along and I'm not sure I have any quibbles with that.
Well, Jim is, like I said, he's one of the root causes of what caused me to keep listening.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.